But first, let me state publicly per APHA regulations that I have no conflicts of interest to declare. Why an eco-social perspective? Consider the assertion, workers are people too. You might say, what else is new? The seemingly self-evident proposition, however, takes on new meaning when considering the challenging and deeply important issues of occupational health disparities. At issue, as underscored by the panel's three presentations, are the myriad ways that societal determinants of health intertwine with each and every aspect of occupational-related health inequities. The engagement extends from basic surveillance to etiologic research, from conceptualization and measurement of variables to analysis and interpretation of data, from causal inference to preventive action, and from the political economy of work to the political economy of health. Understanding who and what drives occupational hazards and work-related health problems and what can be done to prevent them necessarily requires addressing how the larger societal context shapes who works under what conditions, both beneficial and adverse, and who needs to do what to promote occupational and health equity. To do this, we need theory, and the one that I draw on is the ecosocial theory of disease distribution, which I first proposed in 1994 and have been elaborating since. Integrating frameworks concerned with the social production of disease, political economy, political ecology, and population biology, this theory's content is also informed by, among other things, my own work in occupational health. Paying heed to societal and ecologic context, to life course and historical generation, to levels of analysis and interrelationships between and accountability for diverse forms of social inequality, including racism, class, and gender. Ecosocial theory asks, who and what drives current and changing patterns of social inequalities in health? A central focus is on embodiment, clarifying how we literally embody biologically our lived experience, thereby creating population patterns of health and disease. Recognizing that such embodiment can involve multiple pathways, both inside and outside the body, it also calls attention to the joint interplay of exposure, susceptibility, and resistance at multiple levels across the life course. Beyond this, ecosocial theory emphasizes issues of accountability and agency, both for actual health inequities and for the ways they are monitored, analyzed, and addressed. As employed in ecosocial theory, none of these four constructs stands alone. Instead, the intellectual and empirical challenge is to integrate them to afford a richer understanding of the causal processes at play and hence likely effective avenues for intervention, both to improve population health and reduce health inequities. Translated to occupational health, this theory provides a potentially useful framework for evaluating first what is and also is not known about the magnitude of and trends in an occupational health inequities. Second, who is most burdened by the adverse health outcomes and in relation to what referent group? And also, who is most adversely affected by a lack of knowledge about these health inequities and their causes? Third, how determinants of occupational health inequities and potential confounders and effect modifiers are conceptualized, measured, and modeled in empirical analyses, including at what level, in relation to life course, and also historical generation. And fourth, again, what kinds of actions by whom are needed to reduce both the occurrence of work-related hazards and their inequitable distributions. The assertion or reminder that workers are people too consequently means that even as our common humanity and our biological history as members of Homo sapiens means we share many biological characteristics and vulnerabilities, there nevertheless is no such thing as a quote-unquote generic worker. Instead, who is or is not employed in what kind of jobs, with what kinds of exposures, what kinds of treatment, what kind of job stability, benefits, and pay, as well as what evidence exists about these conditions and what action is taken to address them, depends on societal context. At issue are diverse aspects of people's social location within their societies in relation to their jointly experienced and embodied socioeconomic position, race, ethnicity, nationality, nativity, immigration and citizen status, age, gender, and sexuality, among others. To say we live embodied means understanding that it is not, after all, as if someone is a worker or professional in any given occupation on one day, barely earning enough versus the accumulated wealth on another, a woman or a man on the next, a person of color or white on still another, an immigrant with undocumented or legal residential status or native-born on yet another day, young or old the next, or heterosexual, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender on still another. We live these realities simultaneously, each aspect involving experiences and exposures that become part of our embodied histories, social and biological, from in utero, if not preconception, to the current moment. The implication is that occupational health, including occupational health disparities, involves people in societal and historical contexts and must be analyzed and addressed accordingly. Which takes us to today's talks. Of note, all three today's presentations share an acute awareness between the connections between societal determinants of health, social injustice, and workers' lives and health. As they will recount, at issue are not only the physical hazards on the job, but also the hazards posed by, first, low pay and consequent low standards of living for the household. Second, the unregulated informal sector, affecting not only those directly working, but also those who live in its midst. Third, fragile legal status, especially of illegal and also legal immigrants and guest workers. And fourth, related, being rendered invisible in official statistics, yet another variant of the time-honored or really time-disgraced cynical politics of no data, no problem. Also key is country context, including not only the continued legacies of underdevelopment, but also how regional and local economies are profoundly shaped by a country's geopolitical realities, involving both its relations to other countries and also to global institutions such as the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, and the impact of global, quote-unquote, free trade agreements premised on neoliberal politics and policy of promoting privatization, private accumulation, weakening of government regulations and protections vis-a-vis hazards, unions, and standard of living. Our first speaker, Dr. Ono, will present on the work he has done with his colleagues. We've changed the order, I was told, so that's why I'm changing what I'm saying now. Dr. Ono will present on work he has done with his colleagues on life in the valley of death, a cross-sectional study of structural determinants to Haitian farm workers' exposures to pesticides in the Dominican Republic. Drawing attention to the straits of immigrant farm workers, his talk similarly will highlight themes of adverse and poorly documented exposures affecting impoverished and undocumented workers. Focusing on novel efforts of data collection so as to inform community awareness and action, the presentation addresses both methodological and structural obstacles that occupational health professionals need to tackle to help improve the conditions of these workers' lives, working in conjunction, not being in charge of, but working with, using the knowledge of both. Second speaker, Dr. Naidu, will present on the informal sector work in Southern Africa, social justice, and workers' health. Placing this work in the context of neoliberal globalization, he argues that governments have simultaneously pursued policies encouraging the growth of the informal sector while abdicating responsibility for protection from and monitoring of occupational hazards, low wages, and also the harms that accrue to both workers and their families. The net result has been an exacerbation of occupational health hazards among those already disproportionately burdened by social adversity and health inequities, including excess HIV/AIDS and tuberculosis. Once again, the call is to place these occupational health inequities in context and develop policies that address the conjoint societal determinants of occupational hazards, impoverishment, and social inequality. Finally, our last speaker, Dr. Habib, in her presentation on migrant agricultural workers in Lebanon, Our Harvest of Shame, will address the adverse working living conditions that these workers endure, compounded by their legal vulnerability and non-inclusion in official statistics. Adding to the problem of invisibility, she will argue, is the lack of engagement between those concerned with social justice and human rights on the one hand and those engaged in occupational health. A more integrated approach will consequently simultaneously require crisscrossing work within and across disciplines, within the public health, within and across different sectors of government, and within and across diverse social movements and civil society organizations. A tall order, perhaps, but an overarching broad vision is needed to help guide the specific components of work that any one of these particular groups can do. So on that note, let us begin the session, clear that our goals are to further insight into the intimate connections between the states of our bodies and the body politic, with the objective of understanding not only how we embody inequality, but also how we can, in our diverse roles as public health professionals and members of civil society, promote the critical goal of embodying equity, another world is possible.